28th chapter. After the Sabbath, when the first day of the week was just dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And there was a great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord came from heaven and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. For fear of him, the guards trembled and fell down as if they were dead. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know. You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. But then, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you to Galilee, and there they will see him." So the women ran from the tomb with fear and great joy. And then suddenly, Christ appeared and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, and they took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. And he said, "Now, go and tell my sisters and brothers that I am going to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you and praise you for the mystery of your grace. For on the cross, Jesus, your Christ, bore all that separates us from you and from life. Yet sin and oppression and suffering and death were unable to defeat him. By his glorious resurrection, you have delivered us from the power of death. Gracious God, make us die every day to sin. Birth us anew so that we may walk in newness of life with Christ, in the joy of eternal life, and in the company of the Holy Spirit. O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. A reading from the book of Acts. Peter said to them, "Truly, the condemnation of anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God. We have the message of the people of Israel. Peace and peace for Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all." Next, I have to ask you, the Daniel and Galilee, to the second of the day. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Please stand as you are able for the Psalter. Page 839 in the blue hymnal, we will read only through verse 24. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation.
There are joyous songs of victory in the hands of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has punished me severely, but I am not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord, and my righteous shall enter through it.
You that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The story that we have just witnessed this last week of the Passion of Jesus shows us how really awful we human beings can be. In the crucifixion of Jesus and the desertion of all of his friends, the way this political and religious system just ground people up and spit them out, we can see how desperate we human beings are. And the gift of this day is partly what has happened already, that in the midst of our worst sin and our deepest brokenness and our darkest sorrow, God has met us with love and nothing but love. God has answered all of our evil with grace. God has answered all of our sorrow with healing. God has answered all of our sin with forgiveness. So in a sense, the story has already been told. And yet, there's more. Because today is the day when an alarming thing happens. There are these women walking to the tomb in grief and sorrow in that sort of wiped out place that's so heavy it has no weight, that's so empty there is no room for anything else. And they get to the tomb, and here is this mystery. They're told that Jesus has been raised, which shouldn't be a big surprise to them because he talked about that. But I wouldn't believe it. Neither would you. And they run from the tomb in fear and great joy, which is kind of how we live our lives. Sort of happy, but a little bit afraid at the same time, mixed together. And then they run into Jesus, who says, "Go ahead of me. I am going ahead of you. Go meet me in Galilee, and there you will see me." All the gospel reports of the resurrection are a little different, four different variations on the theme. But a common thread in all of them is that moment when the disciples are going, "Huh? What? How could this possibly be?" And they have to come to belief. The part that doesn't show up in the Gospels, but that does show up in the book of Acts, is that something changes these disciples. from being afraid and in hiding, fearful for their lives, depressed, traumatized, shut down, and ready to slink home. Suddenly, something transforms these disciples to people who are out on the street talking about their good friend Jesus. When just days before, they were refusing to admit they had anything to do with him. Now they're preaching all about him. Because the story of resurrection is not a story about him. We want it to be that. We want it to be, you know, like the football game when you're way down, way behind, and there's only a couple minutes left, and somehow miraculously you win. That's not what Easter is about. We like that Easter comes during spring, and we can feel like it's about how it's going to come cold and green, and now it's going to be all bright and sunny. That's how it's about. Because in fact, if we were to ask the disciples, they would be most of them eventually were killed for their faith. The miracle is not just that Jesus came out of the tomb. That it completely changed them. And what changed them was not just that Jesus was dead and then he was alive. What changed them was the power of love. What they saw in Jesus that whole terrible week, this last week, was the power that Jesus had in the purity of his love. It was so strong, so miraculous, that even death could not get a grip on it. Even death couldn't hold it down. It's more powerful than death. The real good news of Easter is not just that you'll have tough times and then they'll get better. There will be a happy ending. The real good news of Easter is that God continually gives us a new beginning. And that beginning is not something that's rooted in how hard we try or how well we believe or how faithful we are. In fact, it's most easily accessed in our failure, in our brokenness, in all those little ways that we die. Because when we surrender our lives to the love of God, then all there is in our lives is the love of God. And that's infinite. It's all powerful. It's miraculous. And that process of dying, of letting go of ourselves, is what creates this emptiness that's filled by God. And that is infinite life. It's the power of love that transforms us. We don't just survive our tough times. We become new people. And that happens over and over again. And each death and resurrection transforms us into something new. It was the best of lasagnas. It was the worst of lasagnas. I'll tell you a story. There's a woman named Barbara who worked in a big office building right here in Boston. And there's a pretty big crew that she was working with, and that office somehow was infected with some kind of toxic energy from something that happened way before Barbara ever arrived. And Barbara seemed to be the one who had the capacity to really set it off. Maybe it was because she was a pretty vocal advocate for a lot of political issues, especially immigration and environment, that the people in her office and her company were not comfortable with. But it wasn't just a matter of political disagreement. They were mean. They were just plain mean to her. They tended to be mean to each other. but especially to her, they were just awful. The real test was when Jack, who was one of the worst of them, who really was not just sort of secretly, slyly, kind of sneaky, mean, but blatantly, openly, really vicious and proud of it. Jack's wife got cancer. It was real serious. And Barbara brought them meal. She was a good cook. And she would make them these dishes of lasagna, and it was good lasagna. And she would bring those, and Jack didn't quite know what to do with that, but he couldn't cook. He was a terrible cook, and he was stressed at work, and his wife couldn't do the cooking, so he took the lasagna. It was that lasagna that started to really teach Barbara what it meant to just put herself into something and give it away in love. Actual love. Not any kind of a deal. Not I'll be nice to you because you'll be nice to me. But I'll be nice to you, period. Over the course of months, as she brought meals to Jack, as she did other things for other people in that office, the atmosphere began to change. Barb left that office before she could ever really see the fruits of what she had done. It would only be someone later in the office who would be able to write her and tell her that the person who came after Barbara and replaced her in that office was even more vocal about even more political issues. And in fact, kind of hard-edged and difficult to get along with. She had been suddenly transferred in to the place that had moved on the spur of the moment. Her stuff was in storage. She was busy moving. She didn't have any kitchen utensils. And her second day on the job, there appeared at the end of the day on her desk a lasagna that Jack had made for her. It was the worst of lasagna. He made it for her in love. It was the best of lasagna. The power of love to transform us is the miracle of resurrection. God, for the mystery of resurrection, we give you thanks. We open our hearts that we might die and be raised with Christ and walk in newness of life. Amen.
A reading from Colossians. Since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Be mindful at a higher level, not on a low level, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Christ in glory.